be your duty to persuade them to be benevolent.
How can I do that? I'm their enemy.
My master says, in war and in peace, a good enemy can be more valuable than a good ally. He says you will know their minds. You will think of a way to persuade them.
The only sure way is by force.
Good. I agree, my master says. Please tell me how you would pirate that ship.
What?
He said, good, I agree. How would you pirate the ship? How would you conquer it? I require the use of their cannon. So sorry, isn't that clear, Anjin-san?
And again, I say I'm going to blow her out of the water,
Ferreira, the captain general, declared.
No,
Delacroix replied, watching the galley from the quarterdeck.
Gunner, is she in range yet?
No, Don Ferreira, the chief gunner replied. Not yet.
Why else is she coming at us, if not for hostile reasons, Eminence? Why doesn't she just escape? The way is clear.
The frigate was too far from the harbour mouth for anyone aboard to see the encroaching fishing boats crowding in ambush.
We risk nothing, Eminence, and gain everything,
Ferreira said.
We pretend we didn't know Torinaga was aboard. We thought the bandits led by the pirate heretic, were going to attack us. Don't worry. It will be easy to provoke them once they're in range.
No,
Delacroix ordered. Father Alvito turned back from the gunwale.
The galley's flying Torinaga's flag, Captain General.
False colors,
Ferreira added sardonically.
That's the oldest sea trick in the world. We haven't seen Torinaga. Perhaps he isn't aboard.
No.
God's death! War would be a catastrophe. It'll hurt, if not ruin, the Black Ship's voyage this year. I can't afford that. I won't have anything interfere with that.
Our finances are in a worse position than yours, Captain General,
Delacroix rapped.
If we don't trade this year, the church is bankrupt, is that clear? We've had no funds from Goa or Lisbon for 3 years, and the loss of last year's profit... God, give me patience. I know better than you what's at stake. The answer is no.
Rodriguez was sitting painfully in his sea chair, his leg in a splint, resting on a padded stool that was lashed safe near the binnacle.
The Captain General's right, Eminence. Why should she come at us, if not to try something? Why not escape, eh? Eminence, we've a piss-cutting opportunity here.
Yes. And it is a military decision,
Ferreira said. Alvito turned on him sharply.
No, His Eminence is arbiter in this, Captain General. We must not hurt Torinaga. We must help him.
Rodriguez said,
You've told me a dozen times that once war starts, it'll go on forever. War started, hasn't it? We've seen it start. That's got to hurt trade. With Torinaga dead, the war's over, and all our interests are safe. I say blow the ship to hell!
We even get rid of the heretic,
Ferreira added, watching Rodriguez.
You prevent a war for the glory of God, and another heretic goes to torment.
It would be unwarranted interference in their politics,
Delacroix replied, avoiding the real reason.
We interfere all the time. The Society of Jesus is famous for it. We're not simple, thick-headed peasants.
I'm not suggesting you are, but while I'm aboard, you will not sink that ship.
Then kindly go ashore.
The sooner the arch-murderer is dead, the better, Eminence,
Rodriguez suggested.
Him or Ishido, what's the difference? They're both heathen, and you can't trust either of them. The Captain General's right. We'll never get an opportunity like this again. And what about our black ship?
Rodriguez was pilot with the 15th part of all the profit. The real pilot of the black ship had died of the pox in Macau 3 months ago, and Rodriguez had been taken off his own ship, the Santa Teresa, and given the new post to his everlasting joy. Pox was the official reason, Rodriguez reminded himself grimly, though many said the other pilot was knifed in the back by a ronin in a whorehouse brawl.
By God, this is my great chance. Nothing's going to interfere with that.
I will accept full responsibility, Ferreira was saying. It's a military decision. We're involved in a native war. My ship's in danger.
He turned again to the chief gunner.
Are they in range yet?
Well, Don Ferreira, that depends what you wish.
The chief gunner blew on the end of the taper, which made it glow and spark.
I could take off her bow now, or her stern, or hit her amidships, whichever you prefer. But if you want a man dead, a particular man, then a moment or two would bring them into killing range.
I want Toranaga dead. And the heretic.
You mean the Inglés, the pilot?
Yes.
Someone will have to point the Japo out. The pilot I'll recognize, doubtless.
Rodriguez said,
if the pilot's got to die to kill Toranaga and stop the war, then I'm for it, Captain General. Otherwise, he should be spared.
He's a heretic, an enemy of our country, an abomination, and he's already caused us more trouble than a nest of vipers.
I've already pointed out that first the Inglés is a pilot, and last he's a pilot, one of the best in the world.
Pilots should have special privileges, even heretics.
Yes, by God. We should use him like they use us. It'd be a God-cursed waste to kill such experience. Without pilots, there's no piss-cutting empire, and no trade, and no nothing. Without me, by God, there's no black ship, and no profit, and no way home. So my opinion's God-cursed important.
There was a cry from the masthead.
Ho on the quarter-deck! The galley's changing her course!
The galley had been heading straight for them, but now she had swung a few points to port, out into the harbour. Immediately, Rodriguez shouted,
action stations! Starboard watch aloft! All sails ho! Up anchor!
At once, men rushed to obey.
What's amiss, Rodriguez?
I don't know, Captain General, but we're getting out into open sea. That fat-gutted whore's going to windward.
What does that matter? We can sink them at any time.
Ferreira said.
We've stores still to bring aboard, and the fathers have to go back to Osaka.
Aye, but no hostiles getting to windward of my ship. That whore doesn't depend on the wind, so she can go against it. She might be coming round to hack at us from our bow, where we've only one cannon, and board us.
Ferreira laughed contemptuously.
We've 20 cannon aboard. They've none. You think that filthy heathen pig boat would dare to try to attack us? You're simple in the head.
Yes, Captain General. That's why I've still got one. The Santa Teresa's ordered to sea.
The sails were crackling out of their ropes, and the wind took them, the spars grinding. Both watches were on deck at battle stations. The frigate began to make way, but her going was slow.
Come on, you bitch, Rodriguez urged. We're ready, Don Ferreira, the chief gunner said. I've got her in my sights. I can't hold her for long. Which is this Toranaga? Point him out.
There were no flares aboard the galley. The only illumination came from the moonlight. The galley was still astern, 100 yards off, but turned to port now and headed for the far shore, the oars dipping and falling in unbroken rhythm.
Is that the pilot, the tall man on the quarter-deck?
Yes,
Rodriguez said.
Manuel and Perdito, take him and the quarter-deck.
The cannon nearest made slight adjustments.
Which is this Toranaga? Quickly! Helmsman! 2 points to starboard! 2 points to starboard it is, Gunner!
Conscious of the sanding bottom and the shoals nearby, Rodriguez was watching the shrouds, ready at any second to override the chief gunner, who, by custom, had the con on a stern cannonade.
Ho! Port main deck cannon!
The gunner shouted.
Once we've fired, we'll let her fall off the wind! Drop all gun ports! Prepare for a broadside!
The gun crews obeyed, their eyes going to the officers on the quarterdeck. And the priests.
For the love of God, Don Ferreira, which is this Toranaga?
Which is he, father?
Ferreira had never seen him before. Rodriguez had recognized Toranaga clearly on the foredeck in a ring of samurai, but he did not want to be the one to put the mark on him.
Let the priest do that, he thought. Go on, father, play the Judas. Why should we always do all the poxfowl work? Not that I care a chip doubloon for that heathen son of a whore.
Both priests were silent.
Quick, which would Toranaga be?
The gunner asked again. Impatiently, Rodriguez pointed him out.
There, on the poop, the short, thick-set bastard in the middle of those other heathen bastards.
I see him, Senor Pilot.
The gun crews made last slight adjustments. Ferreira took the taper out of the gunner's mate's hand.
Are you trained on the heretic?
Yes, Captain General.
Are you ready?
I'll drop my hand. That's the signal.
Good.
Thou shalt not kill!
It was Del Aqua. Ferreira whirled on him.
They're heathens and heretics!
There are Christians among them, and even if there weren't...
Pay no attention to him, Gunner,
the Captain General snarled.
We fire when you're ready.
Del Aqua went forward to the muzzle of the cannon and stood in the way. His bulk dominated the quarterdeck and the armed sailors that lay in ambush. His hand was on the crucifix.
I say, thou shalt not kill.
We kill all the time, father,
Ferreira said.
I know, and I'm ashamed of it, and I beg God's forgiveness for it.
Del Aqua had never before been on the quarterdeck of a fighting ship with primed guns and muskets and fingers on triggers, readying for death.
While I am here, there'll be no killing, and I'll not condone killing from ambush.
And if they attack us, try to take the ship.
I will beg God to assist us against them.
What's the difference, now or later?
Del Aqua did not answer.
Thou shalt not kill, he thought, and Toranaga has promised everything. Ishido, nothing.
What's it to be, Captain General? Now's the time,
the Master Gunner cried.
Now!
Ferreira bitterly turned his back on the priests, threw down the taper, and went to the rail.
Get ready to repel an attack, he shouted. If she comes within 50 yards uninvited, you're all ordered to blow her to hell, whatever the priests say.
Rodriguez was equally enraged, but he knew that he was as helpless as the Captain General against the priest.
Thou shalt not kill? By the blessed Lord Jesus, what about you? What about the auto da fe? What about the Inquisition? What about you priests who pronounce the sentence guilty, or witch, or Satanist, or heretic? Remember the 2,000 witches burned in Portugal alone the year I sailed for Asia? What about almost every village and town in Portugal and Spain, and the dominions visited and investigated by the scourges of God, as the cowled inquisitors proudly call themselves, the smell of burning flesh in their wake? Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, protect us!
He pushed his fear and loathing away and concentrated on the galley. He could just see Blackthorn, and he thought,
Ah, Inglés, it's good to see you, standing there holding the corn, so tall and cocky. I was afraid you'd gone to the execution ground.
I'm glad you escaped. But even so, it's lucky you don't have a single little cannon aboard. For then I'd blow you out of the water, and to hell with what the priest would say. Oh, Madonna, protect me from a bad priest.
Ahoy, Santa Teresa!
Ahoy, Inglés!
Is that you, Rodriguez?
Aye!
Thy leg!
Thy mother!
Rodriguez was greatly pleased by the bantering laugh that came across the sea that separated them. For half an hour, the two ships had maneuvered for position, chasing, tacking, and falling away, the galley trying to get windward and bottle the frigate on a lee shore, the frigate to gain sea room to sail out of harbour if she desired. But neither had been able to gain an advantage, and it was during this chase that those aboard the frigate had seen the fishing boats crowding the mouth of the harbour for the first time, and realized their significance.
That's why he's coming at us, for protection.
Even more reason for us to sink him now he's trapped. Isidore will thank us forever,
Barrera had said. Delacroix had remained obdurate.
Torrenaga's much too important. I insist first we must talk to Torrenaga. You can always sink him. He doesn't have cannon. Even I know that only cannon can fight cannon.
Sir Rodriguez had allowed a stalemate to develop to give them breathing time. Both ships were in the center of the harbor, safe from fishing ships and safe from each other, the frigate trembling into the wind, ready to fall off instantly, and the galley, all shipped, drifting broadside to just within calling distance. It was only when Rodriguez had seen the galley ship all oars and turned broadside to his guns that he had turned into the wind to allow her to approach within shouting range and had prepared for the next series of moves.
Thank God, the blessed Jesus, Mary and Joseph. We've cannon, and that bastard has none,
Rodriguez thought again.
The Inglés is too smart. But it's good to be opposed by a professional, he told himself. Much safer. Then no one makes a foolhardy mistake, and no one gets hurt unnecessarily.
Permission to come aboard!
Who, Inglés?
Lord Torrenaga, his interpreter and guards.
Ferreira said quietly,
No guards.
Alvito said,
He must bring some. It's a matter of face.
The box on face, no guards.
I don't want samurai aboard,
Rodriguez agreed.
Would you agree to five?
Alvito asked.
Just his personal guards. You understand the problem, Rodriguez?
Rodriguez thought a moment, then nodded.
Five are all right, Captain General. We'll detail five men as your personal bodyguards with a brace of pistols apiece. Father, you fix the details now. Better the father to arrange the details, Captain General. He knows how. Go on, father, but tell us what's being said.
Alvito went to the gunwale and shouted,
You gain nothing by your lies. Prepare your souls for hell, you and your bandits. You've 10 minutes. Then the Captain General's going to blow you to eternal torment.
We're flying Lord Torrenaga's flag, by God!
False colors, pirate!
Ferreira took a step forward.
What are you playing at, father?
Please be patient, Captain General, Alvito said. This is only a matter of form. Otherwise Torrenaga has to be permanently offended that we've insulted his flag, which we have. That's Torrenaga. That's no simple daimyo. Perhaps you'd better remember that he personally has more troops under arms than the King of Spain.
The wind was sighing in the rigging, the spars clattering nervously. Then flares were lit on the quarterdeck, and now they could see Torrenaga clearly. His voice came across the waves.
Zuko-san! How dare you avoid my galley? There are no pirates here, only in those fishing ships at the harbour mouth. I wish to come alongside, instantly.
Arvito shouted back in Japanese, feigning astonishment.
But, Lord Toranaga, so sorry. We had no idea. We thought it was just a trick. The Grey said Bandit Ronin had taken the galley by force. We thought bandits, under the English pirate, were sailing under false colours. I will come immediately.
No, I will come alongside at once.
I beg you, Lord Toranaga, allow me to come to escort you. My master, the Father Vista, is here, and also the Captain General. They insist we make amends. Please accept our apologies.
Alviso changed to Portuguese again and shouted loudly to the boatswain.
Launch a longboat!
And back again to Toranaga in Japanese.
The boat is being launched at once, my lord.
Rodriguez listened to the cloying humility in Alvito's voice, and he thought how much more difficult it was to deal with Japanese than with Chinese.
The Chinese understood the art of negotiation, of compromise and concession and reward. But the Japanese were pride-filled, and when a man's pride was injured, any Japanese, not necessarily just samurai, then death was a small price to repay the insult.
Come on, get it over with,
he wanted to shout.
Captain General, I'll go at once, Father Alvito was saying. Eminence, if you come as well, that compliment will do much to appease him.
I agree.
Isn't that dangerous? Ferreira said. You two could be used as hostages.
Delacroix said,
The moment there's a sign of treachery, I order you in God's name to obliterate that ship and all who sail in her, whether we're aboard or not.
He strode off the quarterdeck, down onto the main deck, past the guns, the skirts of his robe swinging majestically. At the head of the gangway, he turned and made the sign of the cross. Then he clattered down the gangway into the boat. The boatswain cast off. All the sailors were armed with pistols, and a fused keg of powder was under the boatswain's seat. Ferreira leaned over the gunwale and called down quietly.
Eminence, bring the heretic back with you.
What? What did you say?
It amused Delacroix to toy with the captain general, whose continual insolence had mortally offended him. For, of course, he had decided long since to acquire Blackthorn, and he could hear perfectly well.
Que stupido,
he was thinking.
Bring the heretic back with you, eh?
Ferreira called again. On the quarterdeck, Rodriguez heard the muffled,
Yes, Captain General.
And he thought, What treachery are you about, Ferreira? He shifted in the chair with difficulty, his face bloodless. The pain in his leg was grinding, and it took much of his strength to contain it. The bones were knitting well, and, Madonna be praised, the wound was clean. But the fracture was still a fracture, and even the slight dip of the ship at rest was troublesome. He took a swallow of grog from the well-used sea bag that hung from a peg on the binnacle. Ferreira was watching him.
Your leg's bad.
It's all right.
The grog deadened the hurt.
Will it be all right enough to voyage from here to Macau?
Yes, and to fight the sea battle all the way, and to come back in the summer, if that's what you mean.
Yes, that's what I mean, pilot.
The lips were thin again, drawn into that tight, mocking smile.
I need a fit pilot.
I'm fit. My leg's mending well.
Rodriguez shook off the pain.
The Ingles won't come aboard us willingly. I wouldn't.
100 guineas says you're wrong.
That's more than I make in a year.
Payable after we reach Lisbon, from the profits from the black ship.
Done. Nothing'll make him come aboard, not willingly. I'm 100 guineas richer, by God.
Poorer? You forget the Jesuits want him here more than I do.
Why should they want that?
Ferreira looked at him levelly and did not answer, wearing the same twisted smile. Then, baiting him, he said,
I'd escort Terenaga out for possession of the heretic.
I'm glad I'm your comrade and necessary to you and the black ship, Rodriguez said. I wouldn't want to be your enemy.
I'm glad we understand one another, pilot. At long last.
I require escort out of the harbor. I need it quickly.
Toranaga told Delacqua through the interpreter Alvito, Mariko nearby, also listening, with Yabu. He stood on the galley's poop deck, Delacqua below on the main deck, Alvito beside him. But even so, their eyes were almost level.
Or, if you wish, your worship can remove the fishing boats from out of my way.
Forgive me, but that would be an unwarranted hostile act that you would not, could not recommend to the frigate, Lord Toranaga.
Delacqua said, talking directly to him, finding Alvito's simultaneous translation eerie, as always.
That would be impossible. An open act of war.
Then what do you suggest?
Please come back to the frigate. Let us ask the Captain General. He will have a solution, now that we know what your problem is. He's the military man. We are not.
Bring him here.
It would be quicker for you to go there, sire. Apart, of course, from the honor you would do us.
Toranaga knew the truth of this. Only moments before, they had seen more fishing boats loaded with archers launched from the southern shore, and though they were safe at the moment, it was clear that within the hour, the neck of the harbor would be choked with hostiles. And he knew he had no choice.
Sorry, sire,
the Anjin-san had explained earlier, during the abortive chase.
I can't get near the frigate. Rodriguez is too clever. I can stop him escaping if the wind holds, but I can't trap him, unless he makes a mistake. We'll have to parley.
Will he make a mistake? And will the wind hold?
He had asked through Mariko. She had replied,
The Anjin-san says, a wise man never bets on the wind, unless it's a trade wind and you're out to sea. Here we're in a harbor where the mountains cause the wind to eddy and flow. The pilot, Rodriguez, won't make a mistake.
Toranaga had watched the two pilots pit their wits against each other, and he knew, beyond doubt, that both were masters. And he had come to realize also that neither he nor his lands nor the Empire would ever be safe without possessing modern barbarian ships, and through these ships, control of their own seas. The thought had shattered him.
But how can I negotiate with them? What possible excuse could they use for such open hostility against me? Now it's my duty to bury them for their insults to my honor.
Then the Anjin-san had explained the ploy of false colors, how all ships use the device to get close to the enemy, or to attempt to avoid an enemy, and Toranaga had been greatly relieved that there might be an acceptable face-saving solution to that problem. Now Alvito was saying,
I think we should go at once, sir.
Very well,
Toranaga agreed.
Yabu-san, take command of the ship. Mariko-san, tell the Anjin-san he is to stay on the quarterdeck and to keep the helm. Then you come with me.
Yes, Lord.
It had been clear to Toranaga from the size of the longboat that he could take only 5 guards with him. But this, too, had been anticipated, and the final plan was simple. If he could not persuade the frigate to help, then he and his guards would kill the captain general, their pilot, and the priests, and barricade themselves in one of the cabins. Simultaneously, the galley would be flung at the frigate from her bow, as the Anjin-san had suggested, and together they would try to take the frigate by storm. They would take her, or they would not take her, but either way, there would be a quick solution.
It is a good plan, Yabu-san,
he had said.
Please allow me to go in your place to negotiate.
They would not agree.
Very well, but once we're out of the trap, expel all barbarians from our realm. If you do, you'll gain more daimyos than you lose.
I'll consider it, Toranaga had said.
knowing it was nonsense, that he must have the Christian daimyos Onoshi and Kiyama on his side, and therefore the other Christian daimyos, or by default, he would be eaten up.
Why would Yabu wish to go to the frigate? What treachery did he plan, if there was no help?
Sire, Alvita was saying for Delacroix, may I invite the Anjin-san to accompany us?
Why?
It occurred to me that he might like to greet his colleague, the Anjin Rodriguez. The man has a broken leg and cannot come here. Rodriguez would like to see him again. Thank him for saving his life, if you don't mind.
Toranaga could not think of any reason why the Anjin-san should not go. The man was under his protection, therefore inviolate.
If he wishes to do so, very well. Mariko-san, accompany Tsuku-san.
Mariko bowed. She knew her job was to listen and to report, and to ensure that everything that was said was reported correctly, without omission. She felt better now, her coiffure and face once more perfect, a fresh kimono borrowed from Lady Hujiko, her left arm in a neat sling. One of the mates, an apprentice doctor, had dressed her wound. The slice into her upper arm had not cut a tendon, and the wound itself was clean. A bath would have made her whole, but there were no facilities on the galley. Together, she and Alvita walked back to the quarterdeck. He saw the knife in Blackthorn's sash and the way the soiled kimono seemed to fit.
How far has he leached his way into Torunaga's confidence?
He asked himself.
Well met, Captain Pilot Blackthorn.
Rot in hell, Father,
Blackthorn replied affably.
Perhaps we'll meet there, Anjin-san. Perhaps we will. Torunaga said you can come aboard the frigate.
His orders?
If you wish, he said.
I don't wish.
Rodriguez would like to thank you again, and to see you.
Give him my respects, and say I'll see him in hell. Or here.
His leg prevents that.
How is his leg?
Healing. Through your help and the grace of God, in a few weeks, God willing, he will walk, though he will limp forever.
Tell him I wish him well. You'd better be going, Father. Times are wasting.
Rodriguez would like to see you. There's grog on the table and a fine roast capon with fresh greens and gravy and new fresh bread, butter hot. It'd be sad, Pilot, to waste such food.
What?
There's new golden bread, Captain Pilot, fresh hardtack, butter, and a side of beef. Fresh oranges from Goa, and even a gallon of Madeira wine to wash it down with, or brandy, if you'd prefer. There's beer, too. Then there's Macau capon, hot and juicy. The Captain General's an epicure.
God damn you to hell.
He will, when it pleases him. I only tell you what exists. What does epicure mean?
Mariko asked.
It's one who enjoys food and sets a fine table, Signora Maria,
Alvito said, using her baptismal name. He had marked the sudden change on Blackthorn's face. He could almost see the saliva glands working and feel the stomach-churning agony. Tonight, when he had seen the repast set out in the great cabin, the gleaming silver and white tablecloth and chairs, real leather cushioned chairs, and smelt the new breads and butter and rich meats, he himself had been weak with hunger, and he wasn't starved for food or unaccustomed to Japanese cuisine.
It is so simple to catch a man, he told himself. All you need to know is the right bait. Goodbye, Captain Pilot.
Alvito turned and walked for the gangway. Blackthorn followed.
What's amiss, Inglés? Rodriguez asked. Where's the food? Then we can talk. First the food you promised.
Blackthorn stood shakily on the main deck.
Please follow me,
Alvito said.
Where are you taking him, Father?
Of course to the great cabin. Blackthorn can eat while Lord Torunaga and the Captain General talk.
No! He can eat in my cabin.
It's easier, surely, to go where the food is.
Bosun,
See that the pilot's fed at once. All that he needs. In my cabin. Anything from the table. Inglés, do you want grog or wine or beer?
Beer first, then grog.
Bosun, see to it. Take him below. And listen, Pizarro, give him some clothes out of my locker. And boots. Everything. And stay with him till I call you.
Wordlessly, Blackthorn followed Pizarro the bosun, a large burly man, down the companionway. Alvito began to go back to Galacqua and Torrenaga, who were talking through Marico near the companionway. But Rodriguez stopped him.
Father, just a moment. What did you say to him?
Only that you would like to see him, and that we had food aboard.
But I was offering him the food?
No, Rodriguez, I didn't say that. But wouldn't you want to offer food to a fellow pilot who was hungry?
That poor bastard's not hungry. He's starving. If he eats in that state, he'll gorge like a ravenous wolf. Then he'll vomit it up as fast as a drunk, gluttoned whore. Now, we wouldn't want one of us, even a heretic, to eat like an animal and vomit like an animal in front of Torrenaga, would we, Father? Not in front of a piss-cutting son of a bitch, particularly one as clean-minded as a pox-mucked horse cleft.
You must learn to control the filth of your tongue, my son, Avito said. It will send you to hell. You'd better say 1,000 Ave Marias and go without food for 2 days. Bread and water only. A penance to God's grace to remind you of his mercy.
Thank you, Father, I will. Gladly. And if I could kneel, I would. And I'd kiss your cross. Yes, Father. This poor sinner thanks you for your God-given patience. I must guard my tongue.
Ferreira called out from the companionway.
Rodriguez, are you coming below?
I'll stay on deck while that bitch galley's there, Captain General. If you need me, I'm here.
Alvito began to leave. Rodriguez noticed Marico.
Just a minute, Father. Who's the woman?
Dona Maria Toda. One of Torrenaga's interpreters. Rodriguez whistled tonelessly.
Is she good?
Very good.
Stupid to allow her aboard.
Why did you say Toda? She's one of old Toda Hiromatsu's consorts?
No, she's the wife of his son.
Stupid to bring her aboard.
Rodriguez beckoned one of the seamen.
Spread the word the woman speaks Portuguese.
Yes, senor.
The man hurried away, and Rodriguez turned back to Father Alvito. The priest was not in the least intimidated by the obvious anger.
The Lady Maria speaks Latin, too, and just as perfectly. Was there anything else, pilot?
No, thank you. Perhaps I'd better get on with my Hail Marys.
Yes, you should.
The priest made the sign of the cross and left. Rodriguez spat into the scuppers, and one of the helmsmen winced and crossed himself.
Go nail yourself to the mast by your green-addled foreskin, Rodriguez hissed.
Yes, Captain Pilot. Sorry, senor. But I get nervous near the good father. I meant no harm.
The youth saw the last grains of sand fall through the neck of the hourglass, and he turned it.
At the half, go below. And take a God-cursed pail and water and a scrubbing brush with you. And clean up the mess in my cabin. Tell the bosun to bring the Inglés aloft, and you make my cabin clean. And it better be very clean, or I'll have your guts for gutters. And while you're doing it, say Ave Marias for your God-cursed soul.
Yes, Señor Pilot,
the youth said weakly. Rodriguez was a fanatic, a madman about cleanliness, and his own cabin was like the ship's holy grail. Everything had to be spotless, no matter what the weather. Chapter 27
There must be a solution, Captain General,
Delacroix said patiently.
Do you want an overt act of war against a friendly nation?
Of course not.
Everyone in the great cabin knew that they were all in the same trap. Any overt act put them squarely with Torrenaga against Ishido, who which they should absolutely avoid in case Ishido was the eventual victor. Presently, Ishido controlled Osaka and the capital Kyoto and the majority of the regions. And now, through the daimyos Onoshi and Kiyama, Ishido controlled most of the southern island of Kyushu, and with Kyushu, the port of Nagasaki, the main center of all trading, and thus all trade and the black ship this year. Toranaga said through Father Alvito,
"What's so difficult? I just want you to blow the pirates out of the harbor mouth, ne?"
Toranaga sat uncomfortably in the place of honor, in the high-backed chair at the great table. Alvito sat next to him, the captain general opposite, Delacroix beside the captain general. Mariko stood behind Toranaga, and the samurai guards waited near the door, facing the armed seamen. And all the Europeans were conscious that though Alvito translated for Toranaga everything that was said in the room, Mariko was there to ensure that nothing was said openly between them against her master's interests, and that the translation was complete and accurate. Delacroix leaned forward.
"Perhaps, sire, you could send messengers ashore to Lord Ishido. Perhaps the solution lies in negotiation. We could offer this ship as a neutral place for the negotiations. Perhaps in this way you could settle the war."
Toranaga laughed scornfully.
"What war? We're not at war, Ishido and I."
"But, sire, we saw the battle on the shore."
"Don't be naive. Who were killed? A few worthless ronin? Who attacked whom? Only ronin, bandits, or mistaken zealots?"
"And at the ambush? We understand that Browns fought Greys."
"Bandits were attacking all of us, Browns and Greys. My men merely fought to protect me. In night skirmishes, mistakes often happen. If Browns killed Greys, or Greys Browns, that's a regrettable error. What are a few men to either of us? Nothing. We're not at war."
Toranaga read their disbelief, so he added,
"Tell them, Toku-san, that armies fight wars in Japan. These ridiculous skirmishes and assassination attempts are mere probes to be dismissed when they fail. War didn't begin tonight. It began when the Taiko died. Even before that, when he died without leaving a grown son to follow him. Perhaps even before that, when Goroda, the Lord Protector, was murdered. Tonight has no lasting significance. None of you understands our realm or our politics. How could you? Of course Ishido's trying to kill me. So are many other daimyos. They've done so in the past, and they'll do so in the future. Kiyama and Onoshi have been both friend and enemy. Listen, if I'm killed, that would simplify things for Ishido, the real enemy, but only for a moment. I'm in his trap now, and if his trap's successful, he merely has a momentary advantage. If I escape, there never was a trap. But understand clearly, all of you, that my death will not remove the cause of war, nor will it prevent further conflict. Only if Ishido dies will there be no conflict. So there's no open war now. None."
He shifted in the chair, detesting the odor in the cabin from the oily foods and unwashed bodies.
"But we do have an immediate problem. I want your cannon. I want them now. Pirates beset me at the harbor mouth. I said earlier, Tsuku-san, that soon everyone must choose sides. Now where do you and your leader and the whole Christian church stand? And are my Portuguese friends with me or against me?"
Delacroix said,
"You may be assured, Lord Toranaga, we all support your interests."
"Good. Then remove the pirates at once." "That'd be an act of war, and there's no profit in it. Perhaps we can make a trade, eh?"
Pereira said. Alvito did not translate this, but said instead,
"The Captain General says, We're only trying to avoid meddling in your politics, Lord Torunaga. We are traders.
Mariko said in Japanese to Torunaga,
So sorry, sir. That's not correct. That's not what was said.
Arvito sighed.
I merely transposed some of his words, sire. The Captain General is not aware of certain politenesses as he is a stranger. He has no understanding of Japan.
But you do have, Tsuko-san,
Torunaga asked.
I try, sir.
What did he actually say?
Arvito told him.
After a pause, Torunaga said, The Anjin-san told me the Portuguese were very interested in trade, and in trade they have no manners or humor. I understand and will accept your explanation, Tsuko-san. But from now on, please translate everything exactly as it is said.
Yes, Lord.
Tell the Captain General this. When the conflict is resolved, I will expand trade. I am in favor of trade. Ishido is not.
Dalacqua had marked the exchange and hoped that Alvito had covered Ferreira's stupidity.
We're not politicians, sire. We're religious, and we represent the faith and the faithful. We do support your interests, yes.
I agree. I was considering.
Alvito stopped interpreting, and his face lit up, and he let Torunaga's Japanese get away from him for a moment.
I'm sorry, Eminence, but Lord Torunaga said, I was considering asking you to build a temple, a large temple in Edo, as a measure of my confidence in your interests.
For years, ever since Torunaga had become Lord of the Eight Provinces, Dalacqua had been maneuvering for that concession. And to get it from him now, in the third greatest city in the Empire, was a priceless concession. The visitor knew the time had come to resolve the problem of the cannon.
Thank him, Martin Tsuko-san,
he said, using the code phrase that he had previously agreed upon with Alvito, committing their course of action, with Alvito the standard-bearer.
And say we will try always to be at his service. Oh, yes, and ask him what he had in mind about the cathedral,
he added for the Captain General's benefit.
Perhaps I may speak directly, sire, for a moment.
Arvito began to Torunaga.
My master thanks you and says what you previously asked is perhaps possible. He will endeavor always to assist you.
Endeavor is an abstract word and unsatisfactory.
Yes, sire.
Arvito glanced at the guards, who, of course, listened without appearing to.
But I remember you saying earlier that it is sometimes wise to be abstract.
Torunaga understood at once. He waved his hand in dismissal to his men.
Wait outside, all of you.
Uneasily, they obeyed. Alvito turned to Ferreira.
We don't need your guards now, Captain General.
When the samurai had gone, Ferreira dismissed his men and glanced at Mariko. He wore pistols in his belt and had another in his boot.
Arvito said to Torunaga, Perhaps, sire, you would like the Lady Mariko to sit?
Again, Torunaga understood. He thought for a moment, then half nodded and said, without turning around,
Mariko-san, take one of my guards and find the Anjin-san. Stay with him until I send for you.
Yes, Lord.
The door closed behind her. Now they were alone, the four of them.
Ferreira said, What's the offer? What's he offering?
Be patient, Captain General,
Dalacqua replied, his fingers drumming on his cross, praying for success.
Sire,
Alvito began to Torunaga,
the Lord my Master says that everything you asked he will try to do within the 40 days. He will send you word privately about progress.
I will be the courier, with your permission.
And if he's not successful?
It will not be through want of trying, or persuasion, or through want of thought. He gives you his word.
Before the Christian God?
Yes, before God.
Good. I will have it in writing, under his seal.
Sometimes full agreements, delicate agreements, should not be reduced to writing, sire.
You are saying, unless I put my agreement in writing, you won't?
I merely remembered one of your own sayings, that a samurai's honor is certainly more important than a piece of paper. The visitor gives you his word before God, his word of honor, as a samurai would. Your honor is totally sufficient for the visitor. I just thought he would be saddened to be so untrusted. Do you wish me to ask for a signature?
At length Toranaga said, Very well. His word before the God Jesus, ne? His word before his God?
I give it on his behalf. He has sworn by the blessed cross to try.
You as well, Tsuku-san?
You have equally my word, before my God, by the blessed cross, that I will do everything I can to help him persuade the lords Onoshi and Kiyama to be your allies.
In return, I will do what I previously promised. On the 41st day, you may lay the foundation stone for the biggest Christian temple in the empire.
Could that land, sire, be put aside at once?
As soon as I arrive at Edo. Now, what about the pirates? The pirates in the fishing boats? You will remove them at once?
If you had cannon, would you have done that yourself, sire?
Of course, Tsuku-san.
I apologize for being so devious, sire, but we have had to formulate a plan. The cannon do not belong to us. Please give me one moment.
Alviso turned to Delacroix.
Everything is arranged about the cathedral, Eminence.
Then to Ferreira, he added, beginning their agreed plan.
You will be glad you did not sink him, Captain General. Lord Toranaga asks if you would carry 10,000 ducats of gold for him when you leave with the black ship for Goa, to invest in the gold market in India. We would be delighted to help in the transaction through our usual sources there, placing the gold for you. Lord Toranaga says half the profit is yours.
Both Alvito and Delacroix had decided that by the time the black ship had turned about, in 6 months, Toranaga either would be reinstated as president of the regents, and therefore more than pleased to permit this most profitable transaction, or he would be dead.
You should easily clear 4,000 ducats profit, at no risk.
In return for what concession? That's more than your annual subsidy from the King of Spain for your whole Society of Jesus in Asia. In return for what?
Lord Toranaga says pirates prevent him leaving the harbour. He would know better than you if they're pirates.
Ferreira replied in the same matter-of-fact voice that both knew was only for Toranaga's benefit.
It's ill-advised to put your faith in this man. His enemy holds all the royal cards. All the Christian kings are against him. Certainly the main two. I heard them with my own ears. They said this Japo's the real enemy. I believe them, and not this motherless cretin.
I'm sure Lord Toranaga knows better than us who are pirates and who are not.
Delacroix told him unperturbed, knowing the solution as Alviso knew the solution.
I suppose you've no objection to Lord Toranaga's dealing with the pirates himself?
Of course not.
You have plenty of spare cannon aboard,
the visitor said.
Why not give him some privately? Sell him some, in effect. You sell arms all the time. He's buying arms. 4 cannon should be more than enough. It would be easy to transship them in the longboat with enough powder and shot, again, privately. Then the matter is solved.
Ferreira sighed.
Cannon, my dear Eminence, are useless aboard the galley. There are no gun ports, no gun ropes, no gun stanchions. They can't use cannon, even if they had the gunners,
which they don't.
Both priests were flabbergasted.
Useless?
Totally.
But surely, Don Ferreira, they can adapt.
That galley's incapable of using cannon, without a refit. It would take at least a week.
Lanja?
Toranaga said suspiciously, aware that something was amiss, however much they had tried to hide it.
What is it?
Toranaga asks. Alvito said. Delacqua knew the sand had run out on them.
Captain General, please help us. Please, I ask you openly. We've gained enormous concessions for the faith. You must believe me, and yes, you must trust us. You must help Lord Toranaga out of the harbor somehow. I beg you on behalf of the church. The cathedral alone is an enormous concession. Please.
Ferreira allowed none of the ecstasy of victory to show. He even added a token gravity to his voice.
Since you ask help in the church's name, Eminence, of course I'll do what you ask. I'll get him out of this trap. But in return, I want the captain generalship of next year's Black Ship, whether this year's is successful or not.
That's the personal gift of the King of Spain, his alone. That's not mine to bestow.
Next, I accept the offer of his gold, but I want your guarantee that I'll have no trouble from the Viceroy at Goa, or here, about the gold, or about either of the Black Ships.
You dare to hold me and the church to ransom?
This is merely a business arrangement between you, me, and this monkey.
He's no monkey, Captain General. You'd better remember it.
Next, 15% of this year's cargo, instead of 10.
Impossible.
Next, to keep everything tidy, Eminence, your word before God, now, that neither you nor any of the priests under your jurisdiction will ever threaten me with excommunication unless I commit a future act of sacrilege, which none of this is. And further, your word that you and the Holy Fathers will actively support me and help these two black ships, also before God.
And next, Captain General? Surely that's not all. Surely there's something else.
Last, I want the heretic.
Mariko stared down at Blackthorn from the cabin doorway. He lay in a semi-coma on the floor, retching his innards out. The bosun was leaning against the bunk, leering at her, the stumps of his yellow teeth showing.
Is he poisoned, or is he drunk?
She asked Totome Kana, the samurai beside her, trying without success to close her nostrils to the stench of the food and the vomit, to the stench of the ugly seaman in front of her, and to the ever-present stench from the bilges that pervaded the whole ship.
It almost looks as though he's been poisoned, ne?
Perhaps he has, Mariko-san.
Look at that filth!
The samurai waved distastefully at the table. It was strewn with wooden platters containing the remains of a mutilated haunch of roast beef, blood rare, half the carcass of a spitted chicken, torn bread and cheese and spilled beer, butter and a dish of cold bacon fat gravy, and a half-emptied bottle of brandy. Neither of them had ever seen meat on a table before.
What do you want?
The bosun asked.
No monkeys in here. Wakarimas? No monkey sands this Urumu.
He looked at the samurai and waved him away.
Out! Piss off!
His eyes flowed back over Mariko.
What's your name? Namue?
What's he saying, Mariko-san?
The samurai asked. The bosun glanced at the samurai for a moment, then back to Mariko again.
What's the barbarian saying, Mariko-san?
Mariko took her mesmerized eyes off the table and concentrated on the bosun.
I'm sorry, senor. I didn't understand you. What did you say?
Eh?
The bosun's mouth dropped farther open. He was a big fat man with eyes too close together and large ears, his hair in a ratty, tarred pigtail. A crucifix hung from the rolls of his neck, and pistols were loose in his belt.